Hello and welcome to episode 117 of the Let's Talk Thyroid podcast. I'm your host, Annabelle Bateman. We are a show that is all about trying to keep it super simple. As you live a thyroid-friendly lifestyle, how do you keep it super simple? How do you keep it positive? How to keep it practical? That is really what the Let's Talk Thyroid podcast is all about. I try to bring in guests, share my own experience as a thyroid patient, and talk to people with real stories. So that's pretty much the show. If you're new around here, really big welcome to you. I'm mixing things up in 2024 and going to launch straight in without all the intro. I'm trying to keep it a little bit simpler from an editing perspective. And I know when you're listening to a podcast, you just want to get pretty much straight into the content. So that's what I want to do more of this year. That I will have to share some announcements and things that are coming up along the way as well, because I don't want to make I want to make sure you don't miss any information. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. And in this episode, we're going to talk about how to not go broke when you're trying to pursue a thyroid-friendly lifestyle. Let's face it, pursuing ultimate health can be expensive. So I want to talk through some ideas of ways to make it cheaper. We don't want to send anybody broke while we're trying to pursue a healthy thyroid-friendly lifestyle. So that's what we're going to dive into today. I would love to hear your experiences of managing long-term chronic health issues and a budget. I'm very mindful that we all who listen to this show have different budgets, different food budgets, different health budgets. And so your budget could well be different to mine. And I've got to say, probably I do spend a lot of money on my health. I haven't tried to do it on a super, super strict budget. So if that is you and you've found ways to nail it, then when it comes to conversation in the Let's Talk Thyroid Facebook community and I'm asking questions in there, please, I would love to hear your experiences. I'm sure with so many others, because we all learn differently from each other. I'm going to share some certainly things that I've found helpful, some things that I do, some things that I think are helpful principles, I suppose, to apply when it comes to managing a long-term chronic health issue and saving some money and where to best spend the money that you do have. Let's go. What do we want to talk about? But I guess I just wanted to say, I'm not the expert on this topic particularly, but it is something that I know comes up a lot. It came up as a topic in the last Kickstart program that I ran at the end of last year. And I thought, oh, that's actually a really good podcast topic. So hence, that's why we're doing it now. So what I want you to think about to start with is, well, what is your ill health costing you? In terms of what's your health worth, like what and spending money on your health, I think sometimes we forget, particularly if we've not been feeling good for a long time. And I know when we're talking about Hashimoto's, long-term chronic health, thyroid health issues, it can be many, many, many years, if not decades, that people don't feel good. And so you can forget just how not feeling optimal, how much that's costing you. So it could be costing you in medication. So obviously not just thyroid medication, which depending on the type of thyroid medication you're on, some are reasonably cheap, some are a lot more expensive. So it certainly does, your thyroid medication itself can be expensive. But just thinking for a minute about the non-thyroid medication, the medication you may be on, whether all the time or some of the time, because you're using it to deal with symptoms that come from living with a thyroid condition, like painkillers. Like I know some people, you know, take a lot of Panadol or ibuprofen or stronger painkillers. We do get prone to aches and pains. I certainly do. I don't take painkillers regularly unless I've got some acute thing going on, but many people do. And so that could be costing you in those little bits each week in painkillers. You could be taking antacids, like that sort of reflux. A lot of people actually do take something to settle that reflux, that burning heartburn. And again, some people take them quite chronically, and Often there's things you can do dietary-wise to remove the foods from your diet that are causing the heartburn and to maybe save yourself a bit of money. There's the money that we spend for many, many of us with Hashimoto's. We have weight issues. And so, I would have spent thousands of dollars historically on different diets, on joining things like Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or the gym or personal trainers or programs or weight loss supplements, weight loss medication. There, the big thing at the moment is Ozempic and the semaglutides injections. So there's lots and lots of money that people are spending, often due to the symptoms related to thyroid conditions. So be aware of what you're actually already spending because you're not feeling that good. You also might be spending $5 or $6 a day on coffee because you wake up exhausted in the morning and you need that energy boost. Maybe having a few coffees a day. You could be spending money on that. You could be spending on wine at the end of the day to help you manage your stress and just helping you to wind down at the end of the day. That can be costing you money. Eating out or getting takeaway because you're too exhausted to cook, fatigue is such a common thyroid problem. Really, whether you've got an overactive or underactive problem, fatigue can be a problem. They're just coming from different perspectives. So I'm just realizing if you're watching on YouTube, my glasses, I'm getting a bit older and I'm finding it easier to wear my glasses to read my notes, but there's light reflecting in the glass. I might take them off for a minute. Anyhow, I think, when you are tired, you may not feel like you come home from work and like, oh, let's just get takeaway, let's just go out for dinner. That could be costing you, $100 a week. So there's lots of little things that you think, I don't want to spend all this money on my health, but what are you already spending on your ill health or your lack of optimal health? There's also maybe the less tangible costs that ill health has, like on your marriage. When you're tired, you're exhausted, you don't have that energy to put into building your relationship, or you maybe just feel, frumpy and not so attractive as you used to, or, you're just a bit more irritable. There's lots of impacts that it can have on your marriage and on your relationships. And we know, that, in the big picture, that can be quite costly. So we want to try to avoid, this show is all about the positive and practical, so we don't like to dwell on a lot of those negative things for too long. We want to acknowledge them and find ways to move forward. This is not a show about denying the negative things that come along with living with a thyroid condition, but it's about acknowledging those things and finding a way forward. But I just at the beginning want you to think, and perhaps if you've got your thyroid notebook, I do encourage people to get a thyroid notebook. It was part of the thyroid box that I created when I launched my book, which is now well over 18 months ago. I actually have 5 thyroid boxes left. That's all, only 5. So I'll give you a little plug for that here. It's a curated box of goodies that really reflect all the different aspects of a thyroid-friendly lifestyle. And there's my book in there, Let's Talk Thyroid. There's just some really special things. I'm not going to tell you all about that now, but one of the things that is in there is a notebook. And because I do think it's important to keep your notes, whether it's questions you've got for your doctor, whether it's things you learn from a podcast, whether it's, your blood test results, just having a notebook that you can use as a thyroid health notebook is really helpful. I mean, you don't have to buy one, but get one from the Thyroid Box, just get a notebook from your local shop. But this is where if you're sitting and listening and you want to take some notes, then grab out your thyroid notebook and just write, what is my health costing me? And see what comes to mind and just write a couple of things down. So if you get to the point where you think, okay, all right, I can see how this, there's some negative aspects that are costing me. How can I actually change that? How can I either replace those costs by spending that money somewhere else, or how can I remove those costs altogether? And so some of those things would be like, well, obviously, if you haven't made some thyroid-friendly changes, if you haven't started making changes to your diet and lifestyle, you're more likely to probably be in that category. But we know that symptoms linger. Even with the best thyroid-friendly lifestyle, there are sometimes symptoms that linger. So we're not talking about that, but really if this is new to you, if you're thinking, yeah, I am ready to make some changes, then probably what you will find is your need, for example, for that morning coffee to get you going because you're just so exhausted may disappear over time as you regain your energy, as you find the right medication and the right dosage, and you're not eating foods that are causing inflammation and slowing your body down. You just may find that you don't need some of those things as much. You don't need the antacids because you're actually not eating the foods that's causing the heartburn in the first place. That's the kind of thing I'm getting at. So I want you to then to think about, from a mindset perspective, and you'll know, long-term listeners, that I do talk about mindset a bit. It's the first core chapter section in my book, Let's Talk Thyroid, because I think if you go into making changes or thinking even about money with the wrong mindset or with a negative mindset, then it just makes it really, really hard to make changes or just to have a positive approach. And so start to think about, well, how much is my health worth? Like, how much am I willing and able to invest into my health now? Because I think I'm a pretty firm believer that your health is going to cost you at some point in your life. Now, it may not cost you as much now as it may down the track. Like, if you don't deal with some of these diet and lifestyle changes, you may end up, or we know that autoimmune diseases like to accumulate. Once you've got one autoimmune disease like Hashimoto's or Graves' disease, then you are statistically more likely to acquire other autoimmune diseases throughout your life. And so that is going to then cost more time and money. So what can we be doing to prevent and spend the money now? Maybe it's about spreading out the cost. I don't know. But if we're spending it now so that we're not just then, in a crisis, a health crisis down the track, that's then quite expensive because, for some people, when they hit health crises and everything falls apart, you can't maintain a job, obviously life can be spent going from doctor to doctor or health appointment to health appointment. And I've been there at different points, so I understand that sometimes that's just the seasons that we go through. But how can we try to avoid that big expense by being more proactive in the way that we approach our diet and lifestyle and spend our money? So I think my personal opinion is I would rather spend the money now on good food and appropriate supplements and lifestyle issues now and feel great, or at least be working towards feeling great if I'm in little thyroid flares, but so that I'm maintaining that energy and preventing, well, hopefully preventing future health crises. Does that make sense? So I think, like with all these things, we get to choose whether we follow a thyroid-friendly diet and lifestyle or not. We choose. That's our responsibility. Our body is our responsibility. We have that authority to make the changes for our health. That's no one else's responsibility. No one else can do it for us. I have to take the responsibility for my health. I'm the one that controls what I eat, the way I manage my time, the supplements that I buy, supplements I remember to take. I'm the one responsible for those things. And so, I have to acknowledge that I actually have the choice. And so do you. You have the choice. And so I think when it comes to money and budgeting, we have to choose what we're going to spend our money on and what we're not. And obviously, depending on the budget, there'll be more money or less money to move around, and so that maybe if the budget's really tight, then it's going to be harder decisions to make. But I think when you realize that you actually do have a choice, that even if the choice is hard, and even if the choices mean things that you don't really want, or you're not able to buy the things that you really want, you still get to choose where you are spending your money. And so maybe you need to sit down and actually write out a health budget. This is not what this show is about. I'm not going to give you a budget or tell you how you should spend your money. I just want to get you to thinking about where you can spend your money and where you can save the money. So, okay. So now we're going to have a bit of a chat about where you spend your money. And I want to have a chat about the way you manage your overall health and how that can impact on spending the money. And then obviously then on the practical things like food that we buy and the treats and the way we actually live a thyroid-friendly lifestyle. So when it comes to managing your health, if you are a new listener to the show, what you need to understand about me, I suppose, is that I am very passionate about a thyroid-friendly lifestyle, that there's so much more to managing your thyroid health than just taking your thyroid medication, even though that's the advice that most doctors give us. Mainstream medical system says, take a pill if you need it. Otherwise, there's nothing you can do about the autoimmune component to Hashimoto's. You've just got to wait and see, wait until the destruction is such that your thyroid gland isn't producing enough thyroid hormone, and then we'll put you on medication and that's all you can do. I'm a firm believer that that is just not true, that you may well need medication. I need medication. I've been on it for 25 years or more. But there's so much more that you can do and more that you really have to do in order to manage the autoimmune component, which is really what's driving, for the vast majority of listeners, the hypothyroidism or hyperthyroidism if you've got Graves' disease. So this show is largely about the diet and lifestyle factors that can impact your thyroid health and understanding them from different perspectives. So when you understand that, that's going to make a little bit more sense to how do you spend your money, because I believe that we all, as thyroid patients, need a thyroid support team. And that thyroid support team can be a broad mix of people from a medical doctor that, you know, I do think we all need a medical doctor, particularly if we need medication, we need a medical doctor to prescribe it. But we do need a long-term medical doctor that understands our body, the way it responds to medication, the way it responds to other changes, and that can help you manage your thyroid health. That isn't always easy to find. This can be, in fact, it's usually quite difficult to find that person. And generally across the Western world, having talked to lots of different people, the most success, I suppose, people have in finding a good doctor is if you find what is called could be called different things in different places across the world, but an integrative GP or a holistic health GP, general practitioner. So an integrative doctor, a holistic doctor, a functional medicine doctor, called in some parts of the world. So they're the sorts of, you know, and they're specialized. They've done extra training usually with a special interest in thyroid health or autoimmune diseases or chronic health, or, you know, that will vary from doctor to doctor. And so you do tend to pay a lot more for those doctors. But I do believe that we need one on our team if at all possible. Also, other people you can have on your support team are other health professionals like naturopaths, nutritionists, perhaps like physiotherapists, or, you know, there's lots of different health professionals. But you can also have as part of your support team people like me, like podcasts, books, programs, just internet people that you can find and find trustworthy information about. That's all free. Your support team can be made up of your family and your friends and perhaps the Let's Talk Thyroid community. So we do need a support team. Some of those support team members will cost you. And some will cost you quite a lot, and some will cost you very little, and some are free. So what I think in terms of how you manage your health, and certainly in the way I manage my health, is we want to get the best value out of each of those different people in your support team. Now, if you spend $500 an hour or $500 for an initial appointment to see an integrative doctor, and they say, well, the first thing you've got to do, I mean, I'm not saying they would say this, but often they will say something like, let's deal with your diet and your lifestyle and see what symptoms are left after we've dealt with that. Now, I know that's a very simplistic thing, but what if before you went to that integrative doctor at $500 an hour, you had already dealt with your, you'd already, say, spent a couple of months trying to work on your diet and lifestyle factors first, or certainly alongside, so that you can say, well, I've actually already removed the typically inflammatory foods, and that actually really helped a lot with my energy, brain fog, and gut health, but I'm still really left with joint pain and my hair's still falling out. And so then you can be getting much more specialized advice from those specialists. You know, I think that's a good way of spending your money and getting better value out of it. Whereas you can listen to podcasts like this. You could, there's not lots and lots of other thyroid podcasts, but there are definitely other thyroid podcasts out there. You'll get hours and hours and hours of lots of free information. If you went back through the archives here of the Let's Talk Thyroid podcast, you'll get all the foundations for living a thyroid-friendly lifestyle for free from world experts in thyroid health. And all you have to do is implement it. And then you can see what's left over. Then you can be getting that specialized advice from the medical specialists. Perhaps you've got a good naturopath or nutritionist who they're still going to cost you, but not as much as that integrative doctor. So maybe you see them a little bit more often than the doctor. So there's ways of stretching that. Going to call it the support team costs from free to small amounts. Like, for example, you could buy my book, the Let's Talk Thyroid book. It's $25 Australian. So for $25, you can get the basics of what, at least my perspective on a thyroid-friendly lifestyle. I'm not saying it's the only way, but it's a good basic starting point. You could also look at doing my Kickstart program, which is $97. That's where I guide you through for a month, for 30 days, how to live a thyroid-friendly lifestyle from a food perspective. So, and I've got a more comprehensive program over the whole called the KISS Thyroid Coaching Program. But I'm just saying I would call myself a thyroid health coach. And I am a lot cheaper for those programs than to tell you and actually guide you through how to do some of those things than, say, spending that money on the doctor or even the naturopath to tell you how to do those things. So that's just an example of how you could save some money, and giving my little programs a bit of a plug at the same time. If you happen to listen to this the day it's released on the 1st of February, you've got until tomorrow to join the February 2024 Kickstart program. But if you just think about how can I, you know, you. Healthcare money is valuable. And look, I'm in Australia where we do have a lot of subsidized healthcare. It's a very different healthcare system to if you're living in America, and a different, again, like all around the world, we're different. So I know in America it is a lot more expensive. Healthcare is ridiculously expensive. So even more important that you look at doing what you can do for free and extracting every little bit that you can for free from information that's available online, from, you know, on social media, on podcasts, that kind of thing, so that you're really just spending your money on the experts to help you fine-tune where you're at in your thyroid health. You can also choose where you spend your money, obviously, when it comes to making some dietary changes. And I think this is primarily where the conversation started in my Kickstart group in October, because when you're changing your diet and you're taking out things like gluten and grains, often they're the cheap fillers, you know. It's much cheaper to have a meal that's based on rice or pasta or bread than it is on meat and salad. So, yeah, and we all like to have treats, I think, when particularly if you're making changes, you don't want to feel like you're deprived or you're missing out. And I certainly don't want people doing my programs feeling like you're deprived or missing out. I think that's part of the mindset. So sometimes that is about changing the way you think. But I'm a foodie. I love food. I don't like to miss out on special treats. So I don't. That's not what this is. It's not about deprivation. But the reality is when you do take out some of those cheaper filler foods, you know, you can think, oh, my gosh, am I going to go broke just shop, you know, with feeding myself and my family? And so how do you actually reduce some of those costs? That's what we're going to talk about now. I think a large part of it, well, I'll step back. A basic thyroid-friendly diet is pretty basic, okay? It's a basic, it's meat and veg, basically. At its core, meat and veg. You can add in some nuts, fruits, eggs, you know. You can, there are certain treats that you can, you know, you can buy or make that don't have gluten, grains, dairy, sugars, which are removed because they're typically inflammatory and autoimmune diseases are inflammatory. And so you're wanting to reduce as much inflammation as possible. This isn't going to go into all the diet stuff, but just know that they're the basics. They're the things that tend to be the most problematic for the most people. But everyone will end up with their own unique, you know, what works for your body and what works for my body will be in all its detail will be a bit different. But those core things are where I recommend people start because that's where the global experts recommend people start by and large. And if you just take those things out for at least a month or two, then you can, and then if you want to reintroduce them, you can just see what an impact that they're having on your body. So the actual, you know, what I call a thyroid-friendly diet is not complicated. It's basically what protein am I going to have and then what salad, salad and vegetables am I going to have? And so it's then about, well, how do I make that more affordable? So one thing you're not going to be, you know, really you're wanting to be cutting out lots of processed food. I mean, aside from just those food groups, I guess I talked about, we do want to be focusing on homemade food, more food made from scratch, you know, actual cooking and not on ready-made meals or packaged foods full of preservatives, flavors, colors, all of those things too. We definitely don't want those in our diet. So here are some of the things I've found helpful is buying in bulk. You know, whatever you can buy in bulk, if your budget can and your storage space can do that, then it is does make it more affordable to buy in bulk. I have a family of three teenage, well, actually they're young adult, young men really, and then we've just got a German student staying with us at the moment who's a 19-year-old boy. So I have like six adults eating a lot, and they eat a lot, those boys. So I'm mindful of buying in bulk where I can. I cook with a lot of macadamia oil. It's got a high smoke point. It, you know, I know you can cook with olive oil. I mean, there's lots of debate about olive oil, but in terms of whether you cook with it, but olive oil is a really great oil. But macadamia oil is a really great cooking oil. And I know it's not easily available in other parts of the world, but macadamia nuts are native to Australia. And so we can do that here. And so I have noticed, for example, I buy a big drum of macadamia oil. It's got about 18 litres. I've got no idea what that is in gallons, but about 18 litres of oil, and it cost, I worked it out before I recorded this, it comes out at $15 a litre. Now, if I was to buy macadamia oil in the regular, you know, I think it's like 375 mils or maybe half a litre is what they come in the supermarket. You can't buy, I haven't seen macadamia oil in the supermarket much bigger than that. A, I'm buying it all the time. So this is the practical side of having a drum that lives In storage, I can just refill a container. Practically, it saves a lot of time, but it works out to be $24 a litre compared to $15 a litre to buy it in bulk. So I can save a lot of money buying that in bulk. I've been buying my meat in bulk where I can. Last year, I experimented a lot with buying meat direct from the farmer. Now, that's not necessarily cheaper, but it is probably cheaper for the quality, you know, for grass-fed organic meat. But just buying that in bulk, and yes, you end up with different cuts of the meat that you wouldn't probably just buy, but there's a few different other than saving money reasons to buy from the farmer like that. But just buying in bulk where you can, generally things are cheaper. So that's a good way to save some money. Maybe traveling to a wholesale area like in your city where you can buy, you know, meat and vegetables more wholesale or at markets. For me in Brisbane, there's Rocklea markets, and there's some big butchers around there that do tend to sell meat cheaper. So you may have to travel to find out where the good deals are, but they're probably not just in your local supermarket. But if you find out where the deals are, then you can, that's where you can really save some money. We've probably a couple of years ago now bought a big deep freeze so that we could stock up on specials, stock up on meat and keep it in the freezer. And again, that was about saving money. Yes, we had to obviously buy the freezer, but now I can buy 20 kilos of mince and package it up, and it can just live in the freezer. I can, at the moment here in Australia, it's summer, but lamb has been really cheap. In fact, it's the cheapest meat you can buy, I think, at the moment. Cheaper than minced or ground beef. It's to buy a leg of lamb is about $8 a kilo. And the shoulder is about, I think I bought some the other day for $9.50 a kilo. So I've just, every time I go to the shop, I buy one or two legs and shoulders and I stick it in the freezer. And I think we're going to be eating a lot of lamb. I've got lots of boys to feed. And at $8, even $10 a kilo compared to chicken, which is about, $15, $16, $17 a kilo. Beef, even minced beef is sort of $15 a kilo, depending on the quality that you buy. Fish is like $40 a kilo. So the lamb is like being, so it's just keeping on an eye out for what's on special and buying up the things on special where you can. And that's where having some storage space is helpful. I have noticed, I think sometimes buying frozen or canned fish, like I like salmon, I like barramundi, which is an Australian fish too. But I've noticed like salmon's like $42 a kilo at the moment. So I'll look out for that when it's on special, and then I'll buy the fresh salmon then. But it is cheaper to buy a can. So if you still want that, then it's just finding ways of getting that nutrient dense food, but a little bit cheaper. When it comes to fruit and veggies, I don't know if you're much of a gardener. I'm not much of a gardener. I'm pretty bad actually. But ideally, if I was a great gardener, I'd be growing a few veggies. Definitely cheaper to buy to grow your own herbs than to buy them in bunches and then throw half of them out. Because either you don't need to use it or they just go manky in the bottom of your, veggie drawer. So growing herbs, maybe growing tomatoes. I have successfully done that in the past. And your own salad leaves, like they can be good ways of cutting down on costs. Just on a few basics, even if you don't grow everything. Like I've often said, I need a whole farm to feed my family. And I'm not really interested. If I really have to, then I will, but I'm not really keen to do that. But if that's your thing, or you're really looking at ways to really save money, then growing your own fruit and veggies, or at least some of that, is probably a great idea. And look, it is satisfying to pick something and eat something that you've grown. I actually do have some sweet potatoes in my garden at the moment, so I'm going to go digging around there soon and see if there's actually anything growing. There's lots of leaves, so I'm hoping that means that there's some sweet potatoes growing underneath the ground. What else? Other tips. I've got some tips written down here. You don't have to, like, when it comes to meat quality, and the same with veggies, you actually don't have to buy the grass-fed organic highest quality if you can't afford it. I say just buy the best quality you can afford. Like, I think when my kids have all left home and it's just Lee and I, then I probably will buy that grass-fed organic meat more often than not. But at the moment, I can't justify the cost for that. So we might occasionally buy the meat straight from the farmer, but when I'm buying from the supermarket or the butcher, I'm just buying, you know, I'm not buying the most expensive cuts. I'm not buying the most expensive meats. and so you don't have to do that to eat well and to get good nutrition. You just do the best that you can, just do the best you can afford. The same with the fruits and veggies. If you do look up, I think it's called the Dirty Dozen and the Green and the Clean 15. I don't know who it is that puts that out, but you can actually have a look and see which are the fruits and vegetables that are best bought organic or pest or spray free. Like, we've got locally here in Brisbane a business called Spray Free Pharmacy. They deliver to your door. It's all spray free. So the reasons why you would be wanting that organic fruit and veggies is you don't want all the pesticides and herbicides and those sorts of chemicals on there. So you can be specific and think, okay, well, these are the things on the, you know, the clean or the dirty list, and so I'll buy the things that are on the clean list, non-organic, and maybe I'll buy a couple of organic things on the dirty list. So you just, again, that's about choosing where you spend your money. But just know you can eat a really healthy diet that's not the super expensive stuff. There's veggie co-ops, veggie boxes, buying, you know, some places have local community gardens where you can, you know, share food. So again, that might be something that interests you to investigate if you like the idea of growing veggies. Buying straight from those roadside stalls often is a good idea. My parents-in-law have an avocado farm about an hour and a half away from where I live. But yeah, if I was up around there, I'd be buying avocados from those roadside stalls all the time and not from the shops in the city. So if you drive past someone that sells honey or that sells eggs or avocados often, that can be a cheaper way of getting your fruit and veggies, and the money, you know, is going direct to the farmer, which I think is I like that idea as well. Given that the basic thyroid-friendly diet is fairly basic, you don't have to have all the treats, but there are treats. If you look on my website or in my cookbook, like, I do have those paleo treats. I'm often looking for paleo cakes and treats. And that is where, particularly if you're buying those replacements, like your gluten-free replacements or paleo replacements, like your gluten-free cakes or your paleo treats in the cafes or the supermarket, they are expensive. So that would be a way to cut down, not go broke on that thyroid-friendly lifestyle, is you don't have to have them, or you save them for when they really are a special treat, but you're not buying them all the time. So a lot of the food in the health food aisle, or at least here in Australia, in the end, it's processed, healthy, in inverted commas, food. And they might be better choices because they don't have gluten or they don't have dairy, but they're still processed foods, and they're still paying for someone else to process it and package it up and, you know, like a Bliss ball in a supermarket on its own might cost you $4, but you might be able to make a whole batch for $10. So just knowing that those treats, those particularly pre-packaged treats, or just things like buying gluten-free pasta, for example, is more expensive than buying regular pasta. Well, I just say I don't eat pasta, then it doesn't cost me anything. So you don't have to have those, or you just pick and choose the treats that you want and save them for a real treat. A number of years ago, I used to make coconut yogurt. It was before it was really more readily available. And I don't know if I was doing it I don't quite know if I was doing it to save money or not, but, you know, I'd hack apart the coconut and scrape out the flesh and blitz it up and then put, you know, some sort of whatever it is you put in yogurt, the probiotics to start it. And like, oh my gosh, it didn't even taste good. And it just took me so long to make. And I don't even know if it was cheaper, but sometimes there are some things that I'm just prepared to buy because even if it is a little bit more expensive when I factor in my time and all the ingredients, it's just the DIY version just isn't worth it. And other times it's the complete opposite to that. Like with the Bliss Balls, like I think it's such a ripoff to spend $4 on one Bliss Ball. Or I've seen them for more than that if you're at a cafe, when I know, yes, the ingredients themselves aren't cheap, like nuts and dates and things like that aren't cheap, but it's so much cheaper to make a whole batch, to make your own, than it is to buy. So if you're wanting some of those extra treats or you want your fancy mayonnaise, like, you know, or your fermented cashew cheese, you can make it. You can just Google a recipe. You don't have to buy the fancy cashew cheese at $14 a little tub. You can make your own. So that's where you can save money and have the treat at the same time. It's about choosing where you spend your money. I'm just having a look at my list. I think that actually is that's all the things I've got written down. So that I hope that's just giving you a few things to think about when it comes to living a thyroid-friendly lifestyle and not going broke, because we definitely, don't want to be spending all our money on health. We've got other things in our lives we want to spend our money on. And so hopefully if you can save a few dollars here and there by following some of those tips, or if you've got your own tips, like I said before, please share them in the Let's Talk Thyroid community, or if I'm sharing stuff on social media online and you've got some tips and tricks, pop them in. I would love to learn some extra money-saving tips while still having a great thyroid-friendly lifestyle. So thank you very much for being with me. Last year I was doing like a segment at the end of each podcast called the KISS Thyroid Coaching segment, which is really just about helping you think about what you've just heard. So I've given you plenty of things to think about during this episode, but, you know, just to keep it super simple, follow that KISS principle. Just have a think about one takeaway. What's one thing you can take away from this episode that you can do to help you with not going broke while you're living a thyroid-friendly lifestyle? And write it down, whether it could be something to investigate, something to try, something to make, something to stop. It doesn't matter what it is, but just take one action step as a result of what you've heard, and I will be with you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye. Here's a little legal bit at the end, which is really important, because the information provided by me and all my guests, anything on any format in terms of the Let's Talk Thyroid podcast, whether that is the podcast, audio, video, social media, my books, courses and coaching, is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure or prevent any disease. Nor is it designed to replace proper medical and health advice from a professional. So please, if you've got specific thyroid-related or health-related issues, you do need to get your own independent, personalized medical advice. Have you read Let's Talk Thyroid yet? That is the book that I put out last year. It is all about positive and practical thyroid help for the new thyroid patient. Or for the thyroid patient that is new to the idea that there's anything other than taking your medication that you can do for your thyroid health. Grab your copy from Amazon or from my website, letstalkthyroid.com, or grab a copy for a friend who is struggling with their thyroid health and just needs some really accessible, bite-sized, practical, and positive information that's going to give you hope for your thyroid future.